for being with us this morning. Thanks, everybody, for being here. And just want to make a couple of announcements real quick this morning before we move on. Next Sunday, we will be doing two things. First of all, we'll be opening our nursery back up. So our nursery will be open back up. And the babies can have their fun time and their play time and their worship time and all of that. So that will be, we'll be doing every, taking every caution that we can and to be able to minister to your little ones. That's for any children aged birth all the way up to 4 years old. And then second of all, we're going to be celebrating graduating seniors next week as well. So if you know of any that you might be related to or what have you, we're going to be sending out questionnaires this week and trying to get some information from them and so that we can honor our graduates. I know it's been a difficult year for seniors, but we want to do our best that we can with what we can do. And at least honoring them in name, we'll also have a gift for each of them as well. So, this Wednesday night, we'll be finishing up our series on the book of James. We'll be reading from chapter 5. So you can join us on YouTube at 6:30 and make that a part of your weekly routine. And looking forward to when we can get back to doing more and more. So as things are opening up, hopefully we'll be able to do more things that we've grown accustomed to and also enjoy, right? And so just looking for any announcements that we may be putting out there on Facebook or on our text or any of that stuff. And so, but let's get into today's sermon. Last week we started a new series called Staycation. And I don't know if you've ever how many has ever planned a vacation and to just stay home? That was your vacation. And, you know, you plan on taking an entire week off just to do things around the house, just to maybe go to things around town, and you just wanted to take it easy. You know, sometimes we plan these big, large, extravagant vacations, and we go places, we do things, we all these things, and we have a blast, but we are just exhausted by the time we get home, right? Last year, my family, we went to Disney World. Now, if you've ever been to Disney World, that is a fun trip. However, it is an exhausting trip as well. And, I mean, we started, you know, I'm one of those, they call me the vacation Nazi. They say that I'm one of those because I like to see things when I go, right? I want to see everything, and I even like to see things between here and there. And so so I planned this Disney vacation, and I mean, we did it all. We stayed on the resort. We went to all four of the main parks, and we were so tired that by I forget which day it was. I want to say we started our trip on Friday, and about by Sunday, we had spent all day long in Magic Kingdom. And by the end of Sunday, Brinley, when we get home, this is my youngest, she goes, "Can we go home?" And you said, "You mean you want to go back to the room?" "No, I want to go home." Okay, we had our, she was 8 at the time, and she was wanting to go home to the house. Now, of course, you know, we got back to the room, we stayed the night, and that next morning I said, "Do you still want to go home?" "No." So she was just completely and total exhausted from an all day at the parks. But you know how those vacations can get, right? I mean, you're constantly going, you're running here, you're running there, you're trying to see everything, get in the car, get out of the car, you know, if it's at Disney, get on the bus, get off the bus. I mean, it's just a constant. By the time you get home, you're like, okay, now I just need a few days vacation from my vacation, right? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And sometimes we just need a staycation. Now, I know that's not exactly what I've been talking about, but I'm talking about interruptions and how Jesus handles interruptions. And some of us had our vacations this year interrupted, right? I mean, you had some big plans. You were going to do some things, and you were going to enjoy some things, and it all got interrupted. It all got changed, and you had to make alternative plans to what your vacation plans were. So today, I want to look at another interruption that took place in Jesus' ministry, and I want to show you how he handled this interruption. So if you have your Bibles or your electronic devices, go with me to the book of Mark. Mark's the second book of the New Testament, and I want to read from chapter 10, and we'll begin reading at verse 13. And I believe that this is a very important thing that we need to look at in Scripture. I believe that this is very important for us, you and I, to read and understand the importance of what Jesus was talking about here. Mark chapter 10, verse 13, and it says this: people were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. Shame on you, disciples. And when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. So in this passage, people were bringing small children or babies, according to Luke, the verses in Luke, he says babies. They were bringing them to Jesus. And while we don't know if the children suffered from ailments or if parents merely wanted their child to receive some sort of blessing from Jesus, we can see the character of God revealed in his response. And the disciples, they did not have time for these kids, and they were critical and they were disapproving that they were there. Now, have you ever had something to where you... Now, I know that before Kelly and I had kids, and even before Kelly and I got married, I was in youth ministry. And one of the greatest things about youth ministry is you have a youth event, you entertain the kids, and then you what? You send them home. When you're done, you are done. You have a great time, and then you send them back to their parents, you know. And there would be time, and I never did kids ministry because that just wasn't my calling. I mean, it was like I just didn't understand, you know, children and the noises they make and the things they do. And it's just, I was like, how could anybody do that? Just give them to me. And I know, and some people have told me, I couldn't do teenagers, you know, because they're smart mouths. And I said, well, I can handle them, you know, because I was one at once, you know. And so, but a lot of times we get annoyed with kids, especially if we don't have kids of our own, or we get annoyed with our own kids. And I was told that I was kind of annoying. But, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, we as children, we learn to deal with. But I love how Jesus handles it here. And Jesus is loving and he's kind and he receives the kids with open arms and he's willing to make time for them and their families. He says, the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. In other words, God's kingdom is important for children. He wants to embrace children. He loves children. He wants to have time for children. He wants them to be a part of his family. A fine dining establishment in Chicago recently made headlines from tweeting about allowing kids to eat at a high-end restaurant. Now, some of you are thinking, I mean, most of us would probably agree that if you go to a high-end restaurant, the last thing you want to do is what? Hear screaming kids, right? I mean, if you want to hear kids, you'll go to Chuck E. Cheese, right? I mean, that's what we're thinking when we go to dining establishments. Is how many's ever been to a dining restaurant? Maybe you and your spouse or you and a date went to a restaurant and you're wanting to have a nice dinner and you're just wanting to hang out with each other and you got this kid in the booth behind you just screaming and hollering and throwing a fit. Can I tell you, now is the time to go to the restaurants. There's less people there, right? I mean, you can go and probably enjoy your meal. You know, you wear your mask in, you sit down, you have your meal, and you leave. There's less people there. There's probably less of that happening. But we think, you know, we just want as many people chimed in on this restaurant and said, hey, there should be a kid-free zone where adults can dine in peace. And children, especially babies, can be demanding at times, right? I mean, what happens? If you've ever had babies, you know that when they want something, they want it what? Now, right? They don't want it when you get good and ready. They want it now. Now, as they grow older, they learn to adjust and they learn that they can't have it when they want it, right? We teach them these things that, hey, you know, you can't have. But when they're babies and they don't understand, they're just learning when they want something, they want it now. But Jesus loves them and he cares for them. And, if you look at this passage, and it amazes me that Jesus refers to the kingdom of God here. He simply says that the kingdom of God is a place for little children. He then proceeds to tell us that only those with childlike faith will enter the kingdom of God. So what is the kingdom of God? Well, it refers to God's supreme power and authority over all things and to his plans, purposes, and way of life on earth and into eternity. And to enter the kingdom of God, you need faith like a child. Receiving God's kingdom like a child means accepting it in a simple and wholehearted way so as to turn from sin, receive Christ as Savior, rely on him as Lord, and follow God as your heavenly Father. You know, one of the things that's great about children is children, when they're little, when they're young, they trust everybody, don't they? Now, I know sometimes you say, well, you got to get their trust. But once you get that trust, you've got their trust. And if they trust you, they'll do anything for you. They're very, and a lot of times once they've gained your trust, if you do something accidentally or what have you, they're easy to forgive many times. And one of the great things that Jesus was talking about is that we as Christians should come to him with what? Childlike faith. And that childlike faith means simply that we come ready to receive fully, ready to take everything that God has to give us. And we come as like children do. Children come, they want to what? They want to embrace you. You know, if you've ever had children, you know that when they get tired or when they get hungry or when they want you, what do? Those hands go up, right? I mean, they're just ready. They're ready. You know, take me in, you know, hold me, care for me. I want to just be in your presence. And we as Christians, that's the way we should be. When we come to God, we should be, hold me. Keep me. I want to be in your presence. I want you to comfort me. I want you to bring me peace. And that's what we should do as believers, is come as children. Jesus' ministry was not hindered by children, but enhanced. Matthew chapter 18, verse 3 says, and he said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. He did not see the children as interruptions, but he took that moment and turned it into a teaching opportunity. Jesus showed everyone there how important children are to him. Let me tell you, children are not interruptions. They are not interruptions at all. I love it when our kids are screaming in here, when they're running around in here. I love those things. Perfect timing. You know, I love it. Why do I love it? Because that means that we are raising up a generation to love God, to know God, to see who God is. And that's how we continue. We were all children at some point, right? I am so thankful that there were people in the church that took a chance on me as a bratty little snot-nosed kid and took a chance on me and helped me become a better human being. And I am thankful for those people that were in the church that I attended and how they helped me to become who God wants me to be. But children are not interruptions. They cannot interrupt what God wants to accomplish in your life. Children cannot interrupt what God wants to accomplish in this church service, nor can children interrupt what God wants to accomplish in ministry. We need children, and we need to minister and use children in all areas of the church. Amen? It's important that we start plugging them in. As soon as they have that desire, that want to be able to do something, to have a part of the church, let's plug them in and get them involved in ministry. I believe that if you will make them a part, that they won't want to leave the church, that they will want to remain in the church. And that's what our job as believers is, to love them and to encourage them and to do whatever we can to help them to continue to grow in their faith. In the book of Titus, Paul wants Titus to admonish the older women to mentor the younger. But you see, mentorship isn't limited to women. Amen? We all have a responsibility to spur one another on to good deeds and to allow iron to sharpen iron. Everyone is older or more mature than someone else. Teens can mentor middle school or elementary students. Remember, there is never a time in our lives when we've paid our dues and can opt out of investing in the next generation. The wisdom that a mature person in faith and age and experience can offer the younger person is immeasurable. Everyone benefits when, instead of disparaging one another over generational differences, we concentrate on gospel-focused discipleship. That's what it's all about. Us discipling one another, the older discipling the younger, teaching them, showing them, helping them in every way that we possibly can, and being the mentor of what they have, what they can see growing. We can learn and grow from one another when God is at the center of the relationships. You know, I love the final verse that I read to you, verse 16. It says this, "And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them." Don't you think that Jesus saw something valuable in children? Don't you think that he saw these kids, who they could become, and the greatness that they could become? I mean, I don't know how many of those kids, because we don't know the history of any of those children that were spoken about there. We don't read about any of these kids in the Gospels. We don't. But of all these children that Jesus touched their lives, I wonder how many became a part of the church after Jesus had gone. You know? I wonder how many that Jesus made such an impact in their life that they said, "How can I be a part of this thing?" Because Jesus embraced them. He took them in. He accepted them. But he's deeply concerned about the well-being and the spiritual salvation of children. And this certainly applies to their upbringing and home life. You see, with God's help, wisdom, and guidance, Christian parents should use every means available to raise their children to know and serve Christ, because he longs to receive them. He longs to love them. He longs to bless them. I mean, these are things that Christ wants to do, is he wants to bring them into his arms, and he just wants to minister to them in the early stages of their life. It's not one of those things that said, you know, okay, well, when you reach the, you know, when you reach to become old enough, then we'll put you in work. No, then we'll put you, give you a job to do, you know. When you become more mature, then we'll find something for you to do. No, Jesus was all about ministering to them, using them, giving them an opportunity, giving them a chance to do some of the greatest things possible. You know, all the tech job, you know, the technology is just increasing like crazy. You know who has most of the tech jobs? They hire these kids, 17, 18, 19, 20 years old, to take over these big jobs for these major corporations. Why? Because they're giving them a chance. They know that they can teach them. They know that they're teachable. They know that they can do these things. And some of us are like, man, I don't have any clue what they're doing, and I don't want to do it, right? But man, I mean, this is the way of the future. And so we as the church should embrace our children and our young people and say, what can I do to minister to you? What can I do to help you grow in your life? Consider this. Instead of going away to serve on mission, there are lots of ways to be missional in your own community, especially when it comes to children and families. Outside of traditional ministry ideals like kids, church, and youth group, consider other opportunities. How can we, the church, reach the children of our community? What can we do to extend a loving hand to those kids? So maybe God's calling you today. Maybe God's stirring your heart and he wants to use you to reach today's youth. What is God saying to you? What is God speaking to you? How can God use you to touch? And I know some of you, before all this COVID stuff hit, you were involved in Royal Rangers and Girls Ministries and Kids Church and the Tots. We're getting ready to start that back up, our nursery ministry. You know, and you're trying to, how are ways that you can continue to minister to the kids, even though you're not in session right now? What are some ways that you can make contacts? What are some ways that you can just find things to do and to minister to them? And these are things that we need to start thinking differently. Think outside the box. You know, we've been placed in this box of having to do things differently. Now's an opportunity for us to find ways that we can minister and be the church. Amen? How can we minister to those that are in need, to those that need help? Can we pray? God, I just thank you for this time that we can come here and gather in this place, gather in your house. I thank you for that we could be here. God, I pray that you would touch every heart and every life, every person that's here. God, I pray that you would give us ideas, God. Give us ways that we can reach out to our kids and our youth, God. Help us to minister to those, God, that as we are in this time, this transitioning time, God, I pray that you would help open up our hearts and our minds, God, that we may be able to understand and know, God, how we can reach out, how we can touch the kids and youth, God, and continue to make a difference in their life. God, I give you praise and I give you glory. Help us to understand and see that kids are not interruptions, but they are blessings. And that all of us could be more like children and come to you in that childlike faith. Help us to be who you want us to be. God, we give you praise and we give you glory. I want to take a moment, if you're here in service or if you're sitting at home watching this, I want to give you an opportunity to start a new relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus says to come as little children. To take that step of faith, that childlike faith. So my question to you this morning, do you need to come to Jesus? Do you need to commit your life to him? Scripture says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That means every sin forgiven, washed away as if it never happened. You recognize you need his grace, you need his forgiveness, you need hope, you need change. It's not something that you earn, it's not something that you deserve, but it is freely given to you, and that's why you're here today. It's time to say yes today by faith that you will give Jesus your life. And I want you just to say this prayer after me. Say, dear Jesus, I admit that I am a sinner. I confess that I need a Savior. Today I give my heart to you. Come into my life and make me clean. I want to serve you. I give my life to you. I am no longer my own, but I am yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you said that prayer, let us know. If you're at home, you can send us a text, 479-888-7331. But we want to help you walk in this journey, whatever this journey is that you're on, this new faith that you started. We want to help you in that journey however we can. So I want to invite you to do that. Amen. Today, we have an opportunity to continue our worship to God in the form of giving our tithes and offerings. And there are several ways for you to give. You can use your credit or debit card. There's an offering envelope for cash or check. You can even give online. So as you leave today, you can place your tithes and offerings in a bag that the usher will have holding at the back of the room. But for a moment, I want to talk to you about why behind the what. The why behind the what. Why this is a continuation of our worship this morning. This is not a pause in the action. This is not the intermission in our service between our worship of God and then our study of Him in the sermon. This is worship. And what is worship at its very core? Well, Merriam-Webster defines worship as reverence offered a divine being or supernatural power, and also the act of expressing such reverence. Worship is an act on our part. Worshiping God is expressing reverence for Him. We revere Him, we honor Him, and we worship Him. But why do we sometimes try to compartmentalize our worship? We sometimes view worship as the act of singing when we gather together at church. But worship is a lifestyle of revering God, and that includes doing what He asks us to do. In John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." There can't be a disconnect between our worship, our love for God, and our obedience to Him. In Luke chapter 11, verse 42, Jesus told the Pharisees, "But woe to you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and every herb and neglect justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others." Did you see that? They were literally obeying the command to tithe 10%, but neglecting to show genuine love for God. There was a disconnect between their worship and their obedience. And perhaps, maybe some of us, if not all of us, we have the opposite struggle. We say we love God in our worship, but sometimes neglect obeying His command in our giving. Now, I'm not leading you in giving this morning because of the fact that this church is using your giving to share the gospel to this community, or because we are discipling new believers, training our children well, or giving to missions. We're doing all of those things to make an impact for Christ, and yes, they do require resources. But I'm leading you in giving this morning because our worship didn't end at the beginning of this service when the music stopped. Giving our tithes and offerings is an extension of that worship, an act of expressing reverence to God and cheerfully honoring what He has asked us to do. So let's continue in our worship this morning. As you leave to go home, drop your offering in the bags as a sign of being obedient to God and worshiping Him as you do so. Can we pray over the offering this morning? God, I thank You for allowing us to be here in this house. And God, I thank You for all those that are giving to You this morning. God, I pray that You would pour out blessings upon them, God. I pray that You would minister to them in a mighty way, God. And then us as the church, God, I pray that You would allow us to use the resources that You give to us to continue to minister to our community, to the people in our church, and to those outside our church, God, in every possible way that You have given us, that You have called us to do, God, that we be the church You want us to be. And God, I give You all the praise and I give You all the glory, and I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As you leave this morning, you can give. David will hold the offering bag, and you can place it in. Thank you for coming this morning. Thank you for being a part of our service. Amen.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is Spirit of the Lord is, yeah, is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom reigns in this place. Showers of mercy have